Last call for alcohol. KE8TFM.
W8CMC, W8CMC, Kilo Charlie 8 Delta Zulu Tango. W8CMC, KC8DZT. Kilo Charlie 8 Delta Zulu Tango, New Orleans, Louisiana, clear.
NAKPP. KCKKO. How goes the battle? Recovery battle, that is.
Getting there. Next Tuesday, I have my doctor's appointment to see what the next progress of step is.
Very good. Yeah, that Colin that you talked to last night, he's got one monster repeater down there near Highland Park, Detroit area, like 330 feet in the air. It's digital. If you ever looked it up on Brandmeister, it's not hooked up anymore. I guess there's some internet problems or something that's been down there plaguing it for a while. At least that's what I was told. And it covers a tremendous amount of area, and it's a DMR repeater. If you ever get a chance, look up that repeater.
You know the station IP on it?
Just do W8CMC and then the word Brandmeister. Brandmeister, and then you'll see the coverage map and all of the details about it.
Sounds like a plan. You off today or you working?
No, I got to go to the office. So, but still, my job is kind of like yours. I don't necessarily have to be in an office. I do have to be in front of a phone or a computer, so I'll do some of the work here, some of the work talking on the radio. I like working from the home office because I got my radios all in front of me. So when I get frustrated or bored or excited, I can just grab a radio.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here in front of the laptop. I was on ECR just a little bit ago. Now I found this stack of DVD CDs. And I'm slowly going through them. I haven't gone through these discs in about 10 years, so I'm trying to find the music and photos and stuff like that. So I'm a little bit occupied on that today.
Yeah, very good. Okay, that sounds good. So how are you getting in? You coming in through EchoLink? Is that how you're doing it? Because this is quite a haul. Oh, well, I guess with the Richmond repeater, you could probably get that one.
I'm hitting the Richmond repeater sitting in my kitchen off my little ball thing.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah, we got that one running, springtime, early summer. We had some hiccups getting it all up and going, but we got it going. You ever been to that site?
No, I have not. Is it at the same site as the Macomb County radio over there, over by the police department, or is it over there by the park?
It's kind of near the DPW garage. I think it shares with T-Mobile. I can't be sure. It's fenced in pretty good. I think it's fenced in twice. So, and it's right there. I think when you go to that light with 32 mile, instead of turning to head west on 32, you head east, and then if you look on the left, you'll see it up in the air a couple hundred feet. maybe 180, I think. But it's not a bad site for what it does. It doesn't cover New Baltimore as good as we think it does, but it does really well up by you, and it does really well in St. Clair County. So it has its niche.
Yeah, I think Paul was telling me about it, that it was over by the DPW yard. I didn't realize it was on the T-Mobile tower there. I thought it was on the main tower behind the state police and Richmond police post there.
No, I don't think it. With all these towers, it has to do with who has what permission, who owns what tower, relationships, you know, where he is for you. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics that I never knew about till. And all this stuff, all this knowledge is new to me. I just learned this probably in the first half of the year. But there's a lot of working things. It's not just like walk up to the state police and go, oh, I want to put a tower up there. You know, there's a lot of things that have to happen in order for it to work. But once it works, it's, you know, I forget whether they call it where they interfere with each other, frequencies. Some frequencies interfere with each other, and there's, but I think the biggest part of it is who owns it and what permission do you have from the owners and the people that share that tower with you. So there's a lot involved. I was really surprised how much.
Yeah, if you go down Smith Creek, I think, over in Oakland County, or I mean St. Clair County, there's an old AT&T long line tower right there. Gates open. I don't know if it's an unmanned or an unused site. I looked it up one time on American Tower, and it says they might be the owners of it. But that would be a great place to put another repeater if we're allowed to get in there.
Yeah, I know that. The one that covers really good here in New Baltimore, even the, I know that I was told that even the police tower, it's only like 2 or 3 miles away from New Baltimore, and it's not what they expect it to be. You know, it's not A-grade quality. I mean, it works and everything else, but, you know, they say New Baltimore is kind of a problem for radio coverage for everybody and everything. It's like somebody dug a hole and threw our little city in it. But there is a fusion repeater in a VHF fusion repeater in Fairhaven, or New Haven, and it works real, real well. It's like I can use my handy-talkie inside my house for that one, and but that's digital, that's fusion, and I only have one fusion radio, one fusion handheld, but that works real, real well, so I'd like to see a small one in New Haven someday, too. I think that would be great.
Yeah, I know that Paul was out at the 25 grassy site. I guess we got a tower out there for the county up on the dump somewhere. I think it's on the other side of the dump. I know when I'm driving down 94, I see it. Oh, no, wait, I think he said it's 25 and 94. So I think it's that one tower with the microwave on it. That's part of the county.
Yeah, that's their 800 system. That's one of the ones that Sean is responsible for. And, yeah, that's the one. He just had a big electrical upgrade done to it, too. Again, part of the terrors of owning a tower, you know, which still uses a lot of electricity. You still got to keep those rooms heated and cooled somewhat. So, you know, and then you got to worry about storms and lightning and theft. That's a biggie, too. But, yeah, that one... the only part I know on there is the county part, you know, or the state. I guess it would be the state. I think they're on the state system, but I can't say for sure.
Yeah, I drive by that one every day. I get home from work. But that's the way that it goes, right there down 94. It's kind of a different tower. Like I said, it's right there out in the open. I haven't been to that one. I've been to the Ray Township. Site, and I think there's another one in South, something like that, but it shares it with the DPW yard, and there's some pretty nice setups in there.
Yeah, earlier this year there was another one that's owned by the Lance Cruz that I helped. We had to pull up a bunch of Cat 5, Cat 6 cable because they were working on some microlink stuff, and my minimal part, I was just the ground crew. So, but you need people on the ground. Somebody's got to help feed that stuff if somebody's up top pulling it up. So that was a nice learning experience, too. I didn't realize, you know, how involved that was. But, like, I know that tower, they all talk to each other via microlink, which is cool. Basically a high-frequency little dish type thing, directional. And a lot of them are, I know that the FBI network does a lot, like this one here, it's talking to all the other towers via microlink, which is cool. That makes it nice, and it makes it not dependent on the internet, which is another thing that I think is really an ingenious idea.
Sounds like some of the stuff that we do for my company. We have cameras that run through wireless bridges is what we call them. Wireless bridges for a camera out in a yard somewhere, and then it shoots back to the receiver, duplex receiver, on the main building, and goes down into the network.
Oh, you just let the cat out of the bag. Sean might have a project for you when you get better.
Oh, what kind of rabbit hole did I just go down?
Security. People helping themselves to copper. And he's been talking about cameras. You know, I mean, nothing solid, but I'm sure he heard that.
Yeah, we have one of our biggest systems is DGW. You go to DGW, there's cameras in areas that you don't know where there's cameras, and they're all wireless bridge, and I'm talking about half mile to a mile from one side of the airport to the other. You know how big that property is. And then we got some type of microlink that goes over to Willow Run, because DGW owns Willow Run also. So all has to do with cameras and access.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we were having a problem with theft, pretty significant problem with theft at our office. We were at 26th and County Line. And our cameras are okay. They're not super duper cameras, but they're okay. Well, we got the guy's car, and they were able to use that as evidence. You know, the image wasn't good enough to read the license plate, but we got a lead on some of the stuff that was getting stolen that was trying to get sold down in Detroit. And the videos and the images it took matched the guy's car. And that's what they knew. That was enough evidence to prove that he was the one that took it, because, you know, he kind of, like, tried to say that, oh, I was the middleman. Well, he really wasn't the middleman, because the car that he was trying to sell the stuff in was the same car that showed up on our camera images. And that's one of the things they used to help, you know, charge the guy. So I think cameras have their place. I think they have their places a lot.
Oh, yeah, we have systems out there that are, I mean, some of the cameras are so advanced. I got one on top of a radio tower that you can see the gate on the far end, pretty much almost on the other side of the airport with this one. It's, what, 100 feet up in the air? So we have a tower climber that replaces it when need be. And then I have a couple accounts up, and I have one, Saginaw is one of mine. And that's card access. And it's all independently powered, and it's got a wireless link that goes right to the county building downtown Saginaw. And is that the Saginaw? No, it's the city building. It goes right to the city building. Courthouse, a bunch of receivers up there. Same thing with the federal courthouse in Detroit. There's a bunch of cameras in the parking deck that are all wireless bridges. It's pretty cool. The stuff that's out there is just phenomenal now.
Yeah, I know that we're talking right now with the camera guys at our office. Apparently they got a new camera out. It's like $700-$800. Ours is all connected with Cat 5 stuff. And, of course, it goes to the Internet, and then it reports to our phones. And we're looking at, like, a low-light, high-visibility, 180-degree span camera. But they want, like, $700-$800 of it.
Yeah, a lot of the new cameras now, all the new digital cameras, they got motion detection built in, IR built into it, heaters built into them. I got a lot of equipment out there. Some of the stuff, some of the cameras are $2,000-$3,000 for this high-end stuff for that city. They mark pretty well. Got another account that have license plate readers. You drive in, it catches your license plate. You drive out, it catches your license plate. That's how, let's say, Royal Oak does their parking lots now. If you've ever been to Royal Oak and Park where they have those posts with their flashing red, green, yellow lights on them. The camera's built in all that. They got license plate readers, so you park and leave and don't put any money in, they know it.
Yeah, that was one of the things we were talking about. When you get better, I'll talk to you about that for our office, license plate camera, because you can only get in and out one direction. So, I think we can't talk money or business too much, but I'll give you a call sometime or send you an email, and he said you're on QRZ now, and when you get back to work, I'll have you come visit us, and we can chat about that.
Definitely. I got a sales rep that we can get a hold of, so yeah. Like I said, my email's in my QRZ now, so that's in there. Captain Don stopped by last night, picked up my DMR, so he's got my cell phone number. You can get it from him. Tell him to give it to you, and then we can chat on that stuff.
Yeah, that'll work out good. So, yeah, that'll work out good. So, won't be a problem. So, other than that, not too much. Everything's going good. I mean, we've been busy at work and busy playing a lot. I got all my doctor's appointments behind me this week, so that all turned out good. So I don't have any hair. I lost my hair as I got older, and now she wants to burn my head with this chemical stuff, and I'm not looking forward to that. So, and she says, wear a hat. She says, I always wear a hat. And then she called me a liar. I'm going, okay. That didn't go well.
Yeah, no, I still have my hair. I just shave it all off because if I let it grow, it's just gray. You know, dirty blonde and gray, so it's like, whatever, I just shave it all off. I knew where they were going to do the procedure in my neck, so I'm like, nobody's going to shave me with a single-edged razor. So shave my face clean just for the procedure. Now it's growing back, now it's starting to itch.
Yeah, somebody bought me one of those single-edged razor haircuts over there in Vegas one time, and I did not go through it. I mean, that knife just looked freaking scary. I said, if anybody's coming after me with one of those blades, it's going to be a surgeon, and I'm going to be knocked out. There is no way in the world I was going to let him do that. It was kind of a funny story.
Yeah, I'm not one for people sticking a razor blade anywhere on my body except for me. I mean, even my wife doesn't shave my head except for a pair of clippers. That's about it. You know, besides that, nope, you're not coming close to me with a razor. Now, my wife had no choice. When she had her stroke, they shaved one half of her head in order to do brain surgery. But then I bought the clippers over and shaved the rest of it off. Made her happy.
There you go. Okay, fine, sir, Mr. Tom. I'm going to let you go. I've got to probably do a couple of these emails and a couple of other things. So you have a good day, and I'm sure we'll chat later. And if I end up going to visit any customers, I will throw my call out. So KGO, this is NAKBP, and as they say now,
T-73 from KCKGO, and I'll be sitting at home monitoring as usual.
KE8VSI Mobile.
Is that so? Where are you off to?
I am off to Bad Axe, to the hunting grounds. The buddy that owns it texted his group that he was northbound, so I called him, and looks like a good weekend to go up for a visit and hang out.
Oh, joy. I don't know if there's any repeaters up there. I'd be curious if you could try one in the thumb area. I don't know what would be up there.
Yeah, I looked into it a while back. There's plenty up there. There's definitely ham one, possibly a GMRS one. I'm not sure about that, though. And because Bad Axe, you know, it's right at the... Not the tip of the thumb, but it's the biggest area. They got a nice airport there and everything. So I did bring an HD and my computer, so if I feel like I'm not familiar with it, I can. Got my portable HF gear and my drone. And I might not do anything, but I got toys.
Yeah, I thought they had a map. I guess I was wrong. Nothing, just at my desk, kind of just filling in my day, because I'm between teams right now, and there's a big event that they're doing next week, so there's really not much for me to do, and I'm not really looking for things to do. How about that? But, yeah, I'm thinking more house stuff than anything right now. They want to do their walkthrough. And the challenge is going to be finding a time where my wife can actually come and do the walkthrough. Otherwise, she's not going to go because she fills in her schedule way too much, volunteers for way too many things. But that's another subject for another day. But, yep, so things are coming together there. So I'm starting to get a little stressed out about it.
Yeah, you got to make the meeting work and then... The event itself shouldn't be that big a deal. If you can bring your realtor, they may need no more things to look for. And definitely bring a pad and paper and write down everything you mentioned to them and do the follow-up and all that sort of stuff. So, in the end, you know, something that can't be fixed later as well. But it's a good time to get a jump on stuff. Is the flooring done?
Oh, I have no idea. I was there on, what day was it, Tuesday maybe? It was either Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't remember which day I went. And the painting was done. Cabinets were in and things like that. Electric was in, but no floor yet. So I think they're saving that for the end.
All right. Well, I can't imagine them wanting to do a walkthrough without the flooring, so I'm sure they'll have it done by the time that takes place, or at least that's the way I would put it, but you never know.
Yeah, there's like three phases of painting, so I imagine they're waiting until they don't have to paint anymore, because, you know, then you got to cover the floor, and so I think they're just, you know, they're going to do it at the very end or near the end as much as possible. So it might be in today. If I go there today or tomorrow, it might be in, but there's really not much to see right now for me to go there for. The only reason I was there in the middle of the week was I was trying to figure out what
color blinds I wanted to use. So I was going through all the rooms, and, you know, it was a nice sunny day, and I was able to check out colors we want. But then I had an idea, and then my wife overrode me. She said, no, we should just get white because we're going to want to paint that wall or whatever. It's like, oh, okay, I guess.
You got two different opinions, and then, yeah, I know how that goes. But basically, whoever is more concerned with it should probably win the argument. Because in the end, it's the color of the blinds. You know, nothing that can't be changed, or walls can't be changed, or whatever. But yeah, those are situations you're going to run into. You got 20 days to close, and you got 10 days to get those ordered. So there you go on that. It's getting to be time, eh? Any further appliance shopping?
No, just looking at Costco sales and stuff like that. There's another fridge that I was looking at over there, but problem with Costco is, like, I might find one appliance there that I want, but then they don't have the other one, so it's like, ugh. And they have some sale going on, you know, the more you buy, the more you save or whatever, so I want to try to take advantage of that as much as possible, but we'll see. Yeah, I haven't made any final decisions there. I could make a decision almost the week of, and they would deliver it, like, 2 days later.
Yeah, they were a little further out than that when I bought mine, but yeah. And what I did was, once I saw, you know, I weighed the pros and cons of everything, and then I saw the more you buy, the more you save it, like you just did, it was easy to put together a package of what worked for me. You know, they got all kinds of everything. Say you find something at Lowe's that's not the exact same thing, you know, they're going to have very comparable. So unless there's some feature or oddball thing that you got to have that they don't, or one of their units doesn't, then you kind of won't be able to do what you want there. But if you go at it with, okay, here's what I want, what does Costco have that fits what I want, and get it, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep. Yeah, I'm kind of like pausing on spending any more big money until I have the closing figures, though. So I want to know, you know, my budget's going to change depending on what the closing figures are. So if the closing figures are a certain amount, then I'm going to go, okay, well, I have this much money that I can put towards appliances, this I can put towards blinds and things like that. I just want to make sure that I'm covered everywhere. So just window shopping for now, and even the blinds are just going to be a quote for now. I mean, if they're, like, ridiculous, I'm going to go, maybe I'll just put them in myself, even though it'll be more trouble, but, yeah, we'll see. So, yeah, just trying to get all the options available before it absolutely needed to be done, and things like that. But, yeah, the biggest hangout, you know, the biggest stressor is getting my wife to actually sit down and, you know, help make the decisions, but she's always unavailable for, you know, kids' activities and stuff like that. So I'm trying to ninja her time a little bit.
Roger that. I understand. But heck, man, this is such a huge purchase or thing or whatever in your both of your lives. She should cut out some time of other things and at least for a week or two while you're going through all this. But anyway, whatever. Cool biz. I'm probably getting to the end of my rope out of Warren here. I might switch to Romeo if I can find it.
Yeah, ever since I've known her, she gets her mind on something or she gets asked to do something, and she's very, like, quick to volunteer. So I know this about her, so I just compensate. I try to work around her. Not trying to bash her. I'm just saying there's just, like, things I got to I know I've got to plan around to make things work. So, and we've done a good job with it, and she is involved with the decision-making and things like that, but I'm pretty much the kind of the lead, if you want to call it that, on this. And she's just like advisory counsel, I guess. I mean, it's both of our, you know, it's both of our decisions, but she's putting a little bit more faith in me, I guess, to get it done.
All right, very good. Yeah, if you can, yeah, everybody's different. If you can find a way to make it work, that's awesome. So, beautiful day. Blue skies, car says 64 degrees. Should be a good weekend.
Yep, one of the few last ones. Are there any, did you bring any of your radio stuff or no? Because I was wondering if there's a park nearby or anything.
I know there's state land that people hunt on, so I'm sure that counts. I haven't really looked exactly where or what they have. Don't know that I would go activate a park. I'll probably just stay on the property I'm going to, maybe chase some POTA or something like that. But yes, I do have my gear with me.
Very good. I don't know if you brought your node with you. You can always use 594952. It monitors both places.
Yeah, I read that. I haven't tried it yet, and I do have my node. Actually, I'm going to switch to that now to see if I got in, if it auto-switched for me or not. So I'm going to switch over there, KE8BSI.
All righty. Yeah, I would just use 48412 for right now, because you can't, obviously you can't talk over there. Unless you're going to go on the node, I'll talk to you on the node over there. KF8, that's clear.
N8KBP.
KB0DCO, monitoring.
I heard WADAP. Didn't know if you were on FBI or somewhere else. Were you over here, Eric? Yes, not. KF8, that's clear.
I just said, hey, you found the FBI, but then I didn't get a response back, so thought, what's going on? But yeah, you're coming through perfectly clear, full quieting over here.
That's beautiful, but you didn't hear me on the bass. I'm talking on my handheld now, and the problem is I'm looking for the 147.20 on the bass.
Aren't you, well, you're not talking on the 147 to me right now. You're talking on the FBI, which is 443-something, 4436. I don't remember what it is.
Yeah, I've got 442-600 tuned in.
That's the one. NHZDZ, thank you.
Yeah, you text another frequency, 147.2, which I can't get down to on the base.
Are you trying to tune to it, or are you looking for a memory that has that in it?
I was tuning, but it doesn't leave the 400 range.
No, it should be in a memory. Just look through the memories.
I will scan through the memory, see what I can find.
KEA, is that all right? Listen.
NAPUV.
This is NHZZ, Paul. Go ahead.
The 147-200. I cannot find it on the base.
That does not make any sense at all. You're looking at memories, right?
I'm scanning through all the buttons I see here, and it does not go out of the 400 range.
No, you wouldn't be scanning numbers. You're in frequency mode, and you want to be in mode so that it would go through each memory channel. And then you a whole lot of things in there. It wouldn't go a little up or a little down. It's going to change whole frequencies. It's going to go into 2-meter and 7-meter. It's going to be simplex. It's going to be repeaters. It's going to be a bunch of stuff. There's about 70 of them. And when you switch it, it should say 1, 2, 3. The 443550 is memory number 3, I believe, on that particular radio.
Okay, of course you broke up after you said don't do frequency, do mode. What was the mode you said?
I believe it's called channel mode, but I'm not positive on that particular radio.
Well, on a handheld, I can go between frequency and channel mode and find everything. But on the space football radio, I can't do that yet.
Well, that's not good. Well, we'll have to get that figured out in pretty quick.
Definitely. I can get all the channels that you've mentioned on the handheld, but I'm having trouble with the base.
What radio is that that's in there in the football?
The name on it is Dual Band Mini Radio TH-8600.
We'd getting a lot of interference, a lot of echo. Do you have another radio on someplace that's maybe on this frequency? All I need is the TH something.
Okay, let's try this. It's TH 8600.
All right, give me some time, and I'm going to try to find a manual on that radio, and I'm going to get back to you hopefully within an hour or so. This is November 8, Victor Delta Zulu, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can, Paul. I'll text you.
Thank you, Mike. This is why we do the exercises. K8MWW, clear for now.
NHVDZ, clear.
K-A-C-A-K-J-O. W8FU. I think what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to play with this hotspot, get it working with my radio, then I can tell you exactly how that radio's got to get set up. Might have to tweak that hot spot talk group. Unless one of the other guys can tell you. But I don't know anybody that's got an open spot. Yeah, I got a Zoom spot, something like that. So it's got to be similar. But probably if you want to play around with it, you make sure it's working and then go from there. I think you set the radio up with a particular, you know, frequency, color code, and talk group, and then you do all the talk group selection and everything from the hotspot itself. So I'm gonna have to verify that just to be sure. Yeah, I think it just might be frequency from the radio to the hotspot and all the color codes and all that. Come into play when you're connecting, I think, but I could be wrong. That may be the case with the ZOM. I don't recall setting the color code, but pretty sure I read in the open spot manual that you got to set the color code. The default is 1. You got to set that to 1. All right, yeah, it'll probably be good that you play around with it first then, because it sounds a little different. And then, yeah, it doesn't help that I've only used the Anytone for EMR. I haven't even dove into this OpenGD77. I see I got stuff set up in here that I obviously got from Dave Scopebug, but, yeah, I have not messed with any of the radios EMR on OpenGD. I'm currently getting stuck on, I got my call sign boot melody in Morse code, and I cannot get it out of this radio. Every time I try to get it out of here, it's still there. It's kind of crazy. There might be a bug in the firmware. Is that OpenGD77 software? Is that its whole own package? I mean, the firmware, the
delivery, whatever the program is used to program it, is that all, you know, or do you just use, you know, some other program to load that bin file or something?
Yeah, you got the firmware on the radio, and then it's got a OpenGD77 TPS for putting all the contacts in and zones and updating the caps. You do it all with the TPS that you download with it. And let's say you do this to your RT3S. How does that differ? How is it better than any cone 878? Honestly, as far as the CPS, it's pretty similar. Yeah, it's got a little menu on the left side that I'll tell you all the main selections. All right, so you got your call sign, your DMR ID and call sign, boot screen, band limits, DTMF settings, APRS. Then it goes contacts, talkers, lists, zones, channels, and vehicle. And then all of them spread out, and you can do all kinds of different stuff. It looks pretty similar to the CPS on the Anytone, I think. All right, so it looks the same, but, I mean, why do you do this? Why do you do this to your radio? Well, I did it for the satellite tracking. So... I mean, Dave was the one, KF8S was the one that said that it's a lot more user-friendly than the firmware that comes on the RT3S. So that might be a better question for Dave if he happens to be listening. All right, well, I'm ignorant. I don't know what the original software is like at all. I've never played with one. You know, so I'm just going based on the recommendations. I got a couple of radios here, and I got to get them. I figure I'll get them programmed up with that because that's what all the cool kids are doing. Yeah, honestly, the only reason I put it on the radio was for the satellite automatic Doppler tracking, and I have never messed with the DMR. Now I've got the MD9600 I'm talking on right now. I have done, you know, some of the local DMR, you know, going to the repeater and all that, and simplex DMR on this. But yeah, I haven't messed with any of it like I have with the Anytone going to the hotspots and whatnot. So, but as far as from what I'm seeing, it's got a lot more functions and it's a lot more user friendly than what comes on the RT3S. But I have not messed with it either, honestly. I guess the other question is, I've got an Anytone 878. I really like that radio. It seems to do DMR pretty well. Is there any advantage to an RT3S with or without GD77 software over my 878? Satellite, I understand the satellite thing. That aside, is there any reason why the RT3S with the GD77 software would be, you know, that would be my question. So I know you're saying you're not 100% sure, but I'm going to find that out because I don't have an RT3S. There are two here that I've got to unload, and I don't know if I want to get one. I don't know if there's a reason. I've got my 878. I like it real well. So far, I haven't heard any compelling reason why I want the RT3S instead. Unless the radios are just so cheap. I don't know. What does an RT3S go for normally? You know what? I know they're like, I'm going to guess, somewhere between 80 and 120. So it may be the cheap way to have an Anytone is what I'm thinking. I'm opening up the 878 for TPS right now to compare it because I think they're almost identical the way they're set up, but I haven't played with it enough with the DMR to say that for sure until I open this thing up, and it takes forever to open on this laptop. Holy smokes.
all over the frequency.
I'll be happy. Stick with your anytime. I got this one. The only reason I got it is it was $80. It was $80. Does a great job for $80, but the anytime blows it away.
Wow, what's going on with your audio? Are you on UMP?
I can't get that number right. Hold on, let me get on a real radio.
This might be better.
Yeah, what were you doing before? Man, you were just all crunchy and overdriven.
I've been playing around with my node a lot. I've been trying to get this node right, and I can't get it right. The little all-star node. And I don't know what it is. I think I screwed it up when I tried to lower the power. But that's all that is. But, yeah, difference between the Revit, RT3S, and the Anytone. The Anytone is... it's twice the radio, but the Renovis is about a third of the cost. So it's kind of a compromise. The software doesn't really do anything to make the radio any better sound quality or anything of that nature. It just makes it a heck of a lot easier to maneuver around. The Renovis software, Bolthanger, whoever wrote that original firmware, it's terrible. You just can't maneuver around. So when they came out with that program, it makes it, because I got both radios, I play with both radios a lot, if you got the money and you're kind of a perfectionist, you'll always grab the Anytone over the Redivis radio, so just off it. I mean, sell it for $50-$60, and somebody that has limited funds or just wants a radio that they don't care if it flies out the window, that's a great radio for the money.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I thought. I haven't pulled them out of the box. I shoved them in. And but everybody's talking about it, so I'm like, you know, scratching my head going, Now, there is a MD9600 mobile that I've got my eyeball on. Not so much because it can be modified, but because I don't have a DMR mobile personally. You know, I've got work DMR mobile, but I don't have anything of my own, so that's a consideration. All right, anyhow, I was just curious. So unless I really, really, really want that satellite functionality, there's really nothing that offers.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Who did I cut off? Yes, Don? Don, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, even if you want the satellite functionality, we're still beta testing it. I kind of got involved in that through one of the beta testers. But they have it on Anytone now, 878. The new firmware has it, but the caps aren't right. I've tested one of the fixes so far, and it's pretty close to 101 satellite and a couple other features. So even if you want satellite stuff and you have an 878, you're going to be able to change the firmware and get it too. So yeah, it sounds like it's just a cheap version of the 878 that works pretty well.
All right, I was kind of thinking that. I mean, honestly, you know, when actually it comes time to hang up my spurs, I may just go out and get myself a 7550 or something else. I don't know. I mean, I like my Anytone. I really do. 878. I got no beef with that. You know, for as much as I use DMR, it's perfectly adequate, and I don't really need anything more. So honestly, I should just. Take every single handheld I got and just dump it. Take all the money and just buy one Uber handheld. But what handheld would that be? Is there one handheld to rule them all? I don't think so. Correction. There is one handheld to rule them all. The APX 8000.
and then get yourself a nice little cross mode node, you know, hotspot. You can go P25 to whatever you want in style. The only thing I think better than that would be an APX Next.
That's what I was going to say. APX 8000. One handheld that does it all. But the 8000 has two means. You know that. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I don't know if one would do it all. I would say the 878 and then any of these either ones we're having paired up with it. Or, you know, I don't know. They got those ICOMs and they got those Kenwoods that are like hundreds of dollars. I don't know if you're paying for the name on them or if they're actually, you know, better. One day, one handheld to rule them all. What are you getting? I don't know. I was just testing out my antenna. How's it making it in? Some bacon fry, but you're solid. No problem. We're discussing the merits of the RT3S and how it compares to the Pennytone 878. I don't know, they each have their pros and cons. I think the 878 is better as a everyday carry radio because the battery just will last forever. Like if you had to bring one radio with you and it was the choice between those two, I mean there's probably obviously other radios, I would take the 878 with me probably. One can never have any radios, ACHKJO. Also, I'm well, with you guys.
And
there's
I got a couple of RT3Ss here that I have
a lot of boxes. One has to be wondering now. It doesn't have any suggestions. They are going to make a GPS model, but the first one that they're coming out with all the boxes.
I don't think there's anything really I really care about with the RT.
It's only going to be like 3.5 watts, so I wouldn't necessarily use it as satellite radio, but it's going to be a little tiny pocket, you know, kind of a tinier version of the 78, the DMR, and all that stuff. Curious to see how that's going to play in the landscape. That doesn't ship until late October, so then they'll start seeing reviews about it.
I'm sorry I doubled with you. What radio are you referring to? I heard you were waiting for the ship and you're curious what it'll be. What radio?
The baby. Anytone 168 UV. If you go to BridgeCom's website, you'll see it advertised there. There's a YouTube video about it, too. I think I might have posted it in the digital mode channel or whatever. But this battery's about to die, so this will be my final. I'll be listening. KF8.
I'm going to get one of those Chinesium radios that looks just like an APX. That's the ticket, Wally, right there.
It looks like it, but it doesn't have any digital on it. It caught my eye, too, but it's strictly an analog radio. If you buy strictly an analog radio, buy one of the $100 models. But, yeah, it they copied it pretty well, but they just left out a lot of the electronics. So, but, yeah, I get it. Yeah, the Anytone's always a better radio, but... You know, and you can pick one of these things up for $80. As the motto goes, who cares? So, let's see. Captain Don, where'd you go?
Oh, I'm here. I'm trying to, have you ever put a boot melody in the OpenGD77? I had my Morse code for my call sign in there. And I'm trying to set up this radio for Tom, and no matter what I do, you're going to have to raise it and write it to the radio, the boot melody of my call sign and Morse code stays there. I cannot get rid of it. It's driving me nuts. Go ahead and answer that in any capacity, Sean, if you know the answer.
Let me take a look at it. I'll figure it out. But I think that there's a setting in there somewhere where you punch in your call sign, and I think that's in the radio. I don't think that's done with the CPS software, but I don't know how you got it in there. It's kind of weird. So go ahead, Sean.
Well, I certainly know nothing about it. So, well, one question for the RT3S crowd out here. You know, even if I were to, not purchase one of these, just pass them along, would we want to get GD77 on them? You know, so sure, I put it on it, and then I can look at it and get a feel for it. You know, or why bother? It sounds to me like if you're going to get one of these, that's the only way to fly. Is that correct?
In my mind, that is correct. It is a lot easier to use. It's a lot easier to use. There's a lot of chasing around, going back, going forth, blah, blah, blah. Kind of like when you're programming up when you're in your Motorola radios. You got to go here, you got to go there, blah, blah, blah. The original software is that way. The 77 software isn't. 77 is a lot more hand-friendly. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, it's set up a lot like the Anytone, because I just compared the two. The Anytone has a lot more, like, cool features, like the pop-up option screen and tabs and all that. But, yeah, as far as the call sign, it's called Boot Melody. You go into extras at the top, and you go to open GD77 support, where you update the caps for the satellite. And below that is a little boot melody. You can select the boot image. I figured out how to get rid of that. You got to go over to the boot screen on the left side and check call sign only. But man, that boot melody, it's a bunch of numbers you put in for different Morse code letters and characters. And I erase it and write it to the radio, and it still comes back with all the numbers I put in for my call sign. It's like, I don't know if it's a bug and you can't get rid of it once you do it or what. Are you trying to just blank it, or are you trying to put his call in there? Because maybe you got to put something in there or else it doesn't delete yours. Yeah, and that's what my next thing's probably going to be. But, man, it's a whole bunch of characters. If I type it all and it doesn't, you figure it out, it'll take me probably 10 minutes. And then if it doesn't work, I'm going to be, like, screaming at it. You don't have to put his call necessarily, but just put, like, an R in there, just one character. Just so that you're putting something in, and then it'll replace yours with that. Maybe it sees nothing and does nothing. Just put an R in there. See if it gets rid of your call. Or back everything up to where it's just a W in your call and see if then it changes to just a W. Go ahead, Tom.
I just came sat outside, heard my name mentioned. Sounds like Captain Don's having issues with it because there's no rush, whatever it takes to get it done is how I see it. But I want to thank all three of you guys for everything that you're doing for me on this radio. It's new to me. I only paid $60 for it. I guess I should check out that Anytone 878 and see what that's like. What is it, the Recevis, something?
Well, make sure I got it. Sean. good. I was thinking that, too, when you said that. Maybe I should try to just put something in. So the 0.6, or 0.06, whatever, something 060 means a space. So I just put that in and put it on the radio, and now it's gone. Good suggestion. Anytone 878, DV2 Plus is what we're talking about. It's like $300 and some dollars, but it's probably the best DMR radio. It has pretty good battery life, and they actually are doing a firmware upgrade that they're working on right now to get the satellite function that I use too. So it's a good radio, but this Retevis with the OpenGD 77 firmware will do just about everything that does. So that's my take on that. Wally, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with him. I mean, there's really, if you're really into it, you really want it, then that's fine. But I disagree with his assessment about the best radio. The best radio, I think, is there's only one band, but that Motorola XDR7550. That's the best radio to get if you want it. DMR and the super radio that doesn't go, it goes anywhere you want it to go, type accepted for everything, and that I think is the best radio. But if you hunt around, you can find it for $150. There was a guy that was selling those out in the Grand Rapids area for $150. I forget his name. Sean knows who he is. He's involved in a lot of the EOC stuff over there. But I picked up one from him. So, but DMR, hierarchy, red for handheld, red this. Any tone, and then that Motorola XPR. Go ahead, Sean. You should be still driving.
Yeah, this may be my last, and I'm glad that worked. That's the only thing I could think. So, the Motorola is the best radio of the bunch. There's no question about that. But bear in mind, it's UHF only, single watch. And until recently, I didn't realize you could do FTP. The addition, you know, you discovering the FTP with the foreign firmware takes them one level, you know, at one level up for ham use, in my opinion. Because I always need to key something quick, you know, just so that helps. And I don't find I need VHF hardly at all. So that radio is really, for me, yeah, that's a great radio. But if you want VHF, forget it. It's not a contender. And if you know, if you need dual receive, dual watch, then it's not necessarily your radio. Although I don't think the 878 or does true dual watch. I think it shows two on the display, and I think it'll, you know, something will come in on either one. But I don't think something can come in on both bands simultaneously. So there is that. Anywho, I am almost home. I will listen to the next round or two and then be transitioning to the house. Let's see. Tom, go ahead. Pass it over to Don. I'll be listening. W8FU.
Yeah, I just have to wait for finances to buy another toy. Wife's not allowing anything. She wants trees cut down, so that's the funny part right now. So, I said, I just use them, like I said, I'm just getting into DMR. I think if I get a little more heavily involved, then I'll start looking at other radios. But besides that, I'll just suggest what I got for right now. Maybe get a beam antenna, save up for that. Talk to Dr. Don about that one. Go ahead, KCK Joe.
All right. Yeah, I got everything pretty much set up on this radio. I'm actually talking on it now to the Warren repeater from my parents on Sterling Heights. Hopefully I'm coming through. I was just having a problem with I had it beeping my Morse code for my call sign when you turn it on, and I couldn't get rid of it. But I got rid of it now, so it doesn't do nothing but show your call sign and your name when I turn it on. So this is it with the firmware on it. So we're just working on that hotspot thing, and then I'll be bringing it back up there with me Tuesday probably. Go ahead, Wally.
Yeah, I just turned mine on and off, and it doesn't beep anything. So I don't know what I did there, but like I said, it's cool radio for money. Can't complain. Tom, don't rush out just because you have to have the biggest, the bestest, and the baddest. This one will keep you more than happy for a while, you know. And then if you want, like I said, We'll see if we still can get that guy over there in Grand Rapids, for a buck and a half. If you want, a really good UHF, if that does, ever happen up our way, where they get a good one, then it might be worth grabbing just one of those. So, but other than that, right now, don't fix your trees. Don't buy any tone on our account unless you really need VHF. So, I guess maybe they'll get VHF back alive again. So, anyway, Sean and I was talking earlier about everybody around here seems to migrated towards UHF. So, Sean, we'll let you finish it out. I'm going to go get myself a cup of coffee, and then I'm going to step out. So, go ahead.
Okay, I'm home and bringing the trash cans and collect out the mail and all that good stuff. So this is my last. I'll catch everybody in a bit. WNFU.
Later, guys. NAKGP.
All right. Catch you later, Sean and Wally. And how's that sounding, Tom? This is your radio with the OpenGD 77 on it.
I don't know the hand meaning, but it sounds clear as a bell. Clear as a bell. 73 to W8FQ and NAKVP. Guys, have a good afternoon, good evening, enjoy your dinner. But yeah, Don, it sounds really good, really good.
All right, I'm gonna tweak a couple more things in the cold plug that I have, and remove some things because I got it from somebody else and it's not going to make any sense to you probably because it doesn't really, it makes a little sense to me, but I think it might have been left over from somebody else's cold plug. Once I get that done, I'm going to email you this file, and then in that CPS that you downloaded, you can hit file, open, and then open the file I'm going to send you, and it'll put what I have in your radio, and then you can look through those that manual that I sent you that tells you all about the firmware, and then see if you want to tweak what I put in it or not. And then once you get done tweaking, make sure you hit save and save it somewhere where you know where it's at and what it's called. And then once you get the radio, you can just hook the radio up to it and load that file on in the CPS. So it's on your screen, and then hit write the radio, and it'll put whatever you did into the radio.
All right, that works. Yeah, I opened up the software and found how to put my radio. I did search my call sign, and then it put my DMR ID in there and stuff. AMI-5 is a big one. I like the AMI-5 network, like chatting with everybody there on that one. And then I'm going to get some Brandmeisters in there. So, yeah, when you send me the file, that'd be great. And then we'll talk with Sean about what he's looking for the...
All right, I had to switch back to my mobile because that signal's kind of in and out on an HD. But, yeah, all right, cool. Yeah, I just got to check a couple more things on the... I honestly never used this Retevis, the OpenGD 77 firmware for DMR. So just because I got something in there, it probably doesn't mean it's 100% right, but it's got to be right though because of who I got the code plug from. So I didn't really change the format of anything that I got. I got it from CFAS, so I didn't really change the format of anything. I just got rid of some stuff that was like his hotspots and stuff like that, but yeah, and he's also using I don't know what part of DMR, Brandmeister or free DMR or whatever that is the latest and greatest for Who Cares, so you'll have to ask him about that and see what to put in there, but yeah, it should be pretty close, and I got a bunch of channels in there. So, like, if you're traveling for work and you're down in Detroit, I got Detroit in there. I got Livonia, Garden City. You obviously don't have to leave them in there. You can do what you want. But yeah, should be a pretty good variety if you're traveling around.
sounds good enough to me, sir. I thank you for your time and your ability to do it. And I said I'd be lost, pretty much. I don't know that. I don't have the time. I mean, I have the time now. I'm just sitting at the table messing around with radios, and I found a whole stack of CDs that I'm messing with. So that's just occupying my time right now, but I got to step out of my way or I get lost, you know, because I can only stay in one position. So thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, no problem at all. Literally, I decided to go back to the house because I wanted to try to get some more pictures of Northern Lights because it's supposed to pop up again. So, like, it only, because I've done it a few times, it really only took me about a minute to put this firmware on the radio. But I only really use it for the satellite stuff, so... You know, I've been kind of playing around with what's in here for the talk groups and contacts and whatnot, kind of for my own knowledge, because, I mean, I've got 3 radios with this firmware on, and I probably should start understanding in case I ever do want to use it for TMR one of these days, but I got that Anytone, and, I mean, that's a really good radio, but you don't need to spend that money, but it's got really good battery life, it's got really good receive. It's got a Bluetooth microphone, Bluetooth headset, it's got a PCT button, which is kind of cool now that you got, now that they got firmware to put the tracking of the satellites, there's got to be a way I can put a Bluetooth headphone and then put that PCT button on my antenna, and as long as I find a way to record what's coming through the Bluetooth headphone, I can be almost hands-free operating satellites, so kind of neat. But no, I'm kind of learning for myself, too. It only took like a minute, literally, to put this on there for me, but somebody else would have been reading through the instructions and probably taking them, I bet, an hour. I think that's what it took me the first time I put it on a radio, and I got frustrated and frustrated, but that's how you learn. WATDD, back to you.
Yes, sir. The more you mess with it, the more you learn it. That's how I learned all the stuff that I do. I just mess with all the equipment and learn it by hand. So, yeah, I just take your time on it. No rush.
All right. Well, I'm gonna add one more channel called Hotspot with the frequency that I think the Hotspot's gonna have when Sean gets done tinkering with that, and then I'll send you this file in your email, hopefully I can figure out how to do that, and then you'll see everything I got on it, and you can start playing around with it and see if you want to change anything. If you ever do want to use the satellite function, it's in the menu on the radio. You just go to satellite and click on it, and it'll show you the, you know, next satellites that are FM satellites that are going to be going overhead in Memphis, because that's where I got your coordinate set. But on that TPS, you will have to go into the extras menu, and then the second one down, I think it's called OpenGD77 support, and then you'll see it says update KEP, satellite KEP. Just make sure if you are going to try to listen to a satellite or work it that you jump into this software, hook up the radio, and update them KEP, because after about 4 days or so, all the satellites change their orbits a little bit, and you won't be hearing them as well.
Sounds good. If I need a little training session, maybe when I get back on the road, we'll meet up and give me a little bit of a, what do they call it, instructional on it. That way I can learn a little bit more. I guess I just started getting into the DMR within the past couple months. Finally got it programmed on MI5, and I just started, that's how I got in touch with Wally and them. So, yeah, I just take your time with it, and if I have any questions, I'll just trip you up.
All right, yeah, no problem. Yeah, maybe when I drop it off, too, if I can coordinate dropping it off when the space station's flying over. I always got my antenna in the truck here. And we can hook up your radio, and I'll show you how that works. Maybe you'll make a contact. That'd be kind of neat.
But, yeah, then I'll get you hooked on something else if you're wanting to buy an antenna.
I was already looking at the Arrow website.
Yeah, I got the backpack version with the duplexer, 10-watt duplexer, which is fine if you're just going to use it with this HD. Yeah, if you want to go more wattage, then you got to not get the duplexer and hook it up separate to do different radios or something. But yeah, the backpack version with the 10-watt duplexer is what I recommend. And I tried another one. There's another one called the Elk Periodic, Elk Log Periodic antenna. I wasn't too happy with that one. The Arrow 2 seems to be the best one. I can hit all the satellites pretty well with that one. So when you decide to get one, I would definitely get the Arrow antenna.
Sounds like a plan, Captain. Sounds like a plan. All right. I'll cut you loose. You can finish playing around there. My dog is sitting here licking the window waiting for me to come back inside. So, 73 for now from KJL.
All right, I'll catch you later. I'll send that file here in a little bit. WHTPQ clears.
Hey, Don, real quick. On my little alter note, does it sound better? I changed a couple of configurations, or does it still sound terrible?
That's definitely a lot better. I noticed when it sounded terrible, it was kind of like, and it might be doing that a little bit now, but man, you're crystal clear, and if it wasn't for me hearing that before, I probably wouldn't even have mentioned the stuff. So let me hear you again and see what I think.
On USB radio, and then I went back to simple radio, and I hear a hum, and I'm going to have to get rid of the hum, but I have a good idea how to do that, so I was just curious to kind of like, I don't know what it is, maybe I should just break down and just buy one of the name brand ones, but I just can't seem to get it to work right here.
Well, that sounded great, and then as far as the hum, it's more of just like a static with it's not bad at all. I don't know how bad it is on your end. You almost can't even hear it. But yeah, that sounded great. So whatever you did, you're right there on spot, I think.
Okay, very good, sir. Thanks for the help.
No problem. Yeah, that sounded really good. Now that I listen, whatever the hum I was hearing, I think it's coming from my end. So, I think you're spot on.
Yeah, part of the problem is they use a lot of little white dongles, and I think the little white dongles aren't very good, so I'm going to have to do something different. Okay, later, Gator. Thanks, guys. Stay tuned.
KAEPL Mobile.
KJO, WTPC, you got your ears on out there?
This is KAEPL Mobile.
WBAE Monitoring.
WBAE, this is KAEPL Mobile.
All right, there was a double. I will take the mobile first, which call I didn't get, and then you pass it on, okay? And you have WB8E Walt here. Back to the mobile.
Yeah, this is Eric. Call sign is Kilo 8, Echo Papa Lima.
Kilo 8, Echo Papa Lima. This is W8CPT, Captain Don here. How you doing, and how you doing, Walt? I'll hand it back to you, Walt.
Real good, Don. By the way, I dropped a cap, a ball cap, I guess they call it, over at Craig's house. He said he'd hand it off to you. Something I picked up in Hawaii, you're more than welcome to it. And Eric, hello to you.
beautiful, beautiful day. I've been sitting around watching the YouTube videos on what's been going on with the first hurricane in the foothills of North Carolina. Eric, pick it up and pass it over to Don.
Thank you. And, yeah, it's definitely a gorgeous day today. Running some errands. Got to go down to Grand Blanc. I'm on set 69 right now. And got to go to Grand Blanc and take care of some errands and then head out home from there.
That's a trip, depending on what repeater you're coming into. I heard about that. I heard that there's a hat. I don't know what it is yet. I kind of was waiting for a surprise when I meet up with Greg, but I appreciate it, Walt. I'm kind of excited to see what it is. I don't want to know though until I see it. But so did you say there's another hurricane coming after the two that already went through?
No, Don. It's the videos pertaining to the first hurricane, primarily around the Asheville area and the rural areas in the foothills of North Carolina. The carnage, horrible homes destroyed, so many roads, infrastructure. It's going to be a rough go for a long time. Compounding the whole situation are the idiots passing all the rumors that if you take FEMA money, they're going to confiscate your land. Marjorie Taylor Greene, that the government controls the weather, pardon me, and only puts the bad weather over Republican areas. It's sad enough that that whack job is out there, but it makes you wonder, people that vote are in office, how stable they are. Eric?
All right, maybe we lost Eric. I'll jump in real quick and give him a little space after I hand it back to you, Walt, and see if he's still in there or not. I was watching some of that stuff on YouTube and TikTok, and it's terrible, man. I mean, who would have thought that living in the mountains like that would even be a thought of that much destruction? I mean, it just blew my mind when I seen that. It's just terrible. And as far as all these conspiracy theories and all that stuff, man, my thought on that is back in the day, and I can even say that even though I'm a little bit younger than you, back in the day when we voted, it was secret. We didn't tell anybody who we voted for. And this is the reason we did that. If we would go back to that, so much of this chaos in this world would be gone. Leave a little gap, see if Eric's in there. If not, go ahead, Walt.
WPAD, didn't hear Eric. In regards to what your first comment, I've seen that happen in Kauai because of the mountains on the island of Kauai in Hawaii. The rain would capture the mountains, and then it just would come tunneling down. And there was one area that they actually built it so the stream would go over the road, not under it, and, wash away everything. So we were the third car back, and Charlene, the wife, said, well, what are we going to do? I said, there's a young kid two cars ahead. If he makes it through, we'll do it. If not, if he doesn't make it through, we'll turn around. And then the Marriott parking lot, where near my son lived, their whole parking lot flooded and the first floor got wiped out with that same situation. The rain just came tumbling down, actually came through a old riverbed. So my son got the contract to refurb all the cars because they're all rentals. They rebuilt the first floor. A couple months later, it happened again. So it's nothing new, but on our side of the world. And, I feel sorry for the people in North Carolina to lose everything. And literally nobody had flood insurance because there was never any flooding. Let's see if, what the hell is his name? I just forgot. You know who I mean. Pick it up. If not, Don, you pick it up. Eric, pick it up, Eric.
All right. Looks like we lost Eric. Hopefully he's all right. Yeah, yeah, I never would have thought. I mean, I know there's such things as flash floods and stuff like that, but that devastation was just, I watched one YouTube video where I think the kid was walking to either Batcave or Chimney Rock, I think it was, and there was like a police car that had got washed down in the flood sitting on the side of the road, and then the road totally gone, houses everywhere. I mean, yeah. and then somewhere I see, and that's the thing, is you don't know what you read anymore is true. And somewhere I read that FEMA was only given $30,000 to everybody that lost their house. Well, that ain't nothing. I guess it's a start if you didn't have insurance, but that ain't going to replace everything you got. It's just, I just can't believe it. They're used to that kind of destruction in hurricane areas and you know, random tornadoes here and there, but that widespread destruction is just terrible, terrible.
Yeah, well, the only thing that I know, Don, is the government... Am I in the repeater, Don?
Yeah, you are now. You dropped out there, though.
Dog came in and caught my mic cord. I'm using my handheld in the family room. You get $750 pocket money. That's for your medical, your aspirin, your diapers, your water. And, of course, that got all screwed up with people and their conspiracies. As far as the money you're getting from FEMA to redo your house, I don't know. Let me put it that way. I don't really know if... I know they don't give you 100% to redo your house. You know, every Chaldean in Michigan would claim he got flooded out. Eric?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, sorry, traffic got a little bit crazy. Then I actually switched on to the
I don't know.
Flint.
Crazy. Did you were you awake?
Here,
look outside.
But back on the Flint 440 now. So. My apologies, but what I was going to say is I'm pissed with these conspiracy theorists thinking that the government can control the weather using TARP or radar or whatever. I mean, none of that is possible. None of that is feasible. Not with today's technology. Maybe in 100 years or so, but I don't know where they come up with these ideas. I don't know why they're doing this. You know, they need a layoff. They really need to back down and look at the real deal here. I mean, we can't control the weather no more than we can control another person getting drunk behind the wheel. Sorry for saying it that way, but that's how I feel about it. I'm pissed.
Let's see if I got it. Eric, I turned it over to you, and it took a while for you to tee up. No problem. And Don teed up, but you won the race. Don, pick it up and pass it back to me, please. WBAE in the group.
Yeah, all right. Sorry about that. Yeah, it did take you a little bit. We thought we lost you, Eric. I did catch most of what you were saying, though. Yeah, these conspiracy theories and these people that are purposely... you know, playing on people that are for one candidate versus the other, I guess to say, for president, and just playing on them and telling them things that aren't true on both sides is just it's got me pissed off too, for reasons that I'm not going to say on the radio, but like, wow. It's like some of the stuff I'm seeing is just like, how can you believe that? They're playing on people that are for a candidate, one way or the other, and brainwashing them, and with stuff that you normally wouldn't believe in real life. It just blows my mind. Go ahead, Eric.
Oh, believe me, I'm not a stranger to conspiracy theories. I've heard a lot of them. I've done my homework. I probably know more about certain topics than I care to admit to. And I cannot believe how many conspiracy theories there are out there now. And I mean, this weather one, it ticks me off. But the one about there's been a few about 9/11 that circulated around the past 20 years or so. And some of them that they come up with just piss me off because the general public does not understand thermodynamics and physics and thermal sciences. I took Firefighter 1 and 2. I understand these things. I've taken classes about structure fires and stuff like that and how these things happen, how they work. You know, it's just, it's unbelievable. That's all I can say. It's unbelievable.
Let's see if I have it. Well, my late and dear friend, W-A-A-E, Don, and of course I am W-B-A-D-E, Walt, said at my age, and I'll be 83 in a few weeks, I have a right to talk about what I observe without any hate, any finger pointing. And each political party, you have a group of people, old Caucasians, old white people, and they group together. Why? Because a lot of them are alone, or their mate doesn't want to have anything to do with them because they lost their sex drive. Don't fault me for telling the truth, boys and girls. I'm 82 until next week or so. Consequently, they group together. It's a herd mentality. And when you notice when they're interviewed, the other people of the herd look at them to make sure they don't misspeak the party line or the thought. And I mean it. It's pathetic. That's why I like ham radio. WHCPT, WPAD.
Yep, I hear you. You have the right to say whatever you want. And hopefully Don's up there looking down, chuckling right now, too. I miss talking to him. He was one of the few that was on here at 2 in the morning when nobody else was. I had lots of good conversations with him. And kind of keeping him on the air, I ended up getting a hold of his, I bought his amp. So I've been having a lot of fun with that, talking to Australia, New Zealand, and Japan. So, yeah, hopefully when you get to where he's at, you can look down and everybody else and still enjoy what they're doing, and maybe that he's doing some awesome stuff up there. Anyway, yeah, back to you, Eric. Go ahead.
Oh, I want to say this here because I feel like that it needs to be said. I understand people have their opinions and their beliefs, and they say what's on their mind. And I can't fault people for saying what's on their mind. I can't fault somebody that believes something wholeheartedly. Even if it can be shown that they're wrong, they still are entitled and have a right to that opinion. You know, I am just, you know, an individual that unfortunately understands a lot more than I do, and I can pick apart the arguments like there's no tomorrow, and it pisses me off that people say that I'm wrong or that I'm misinformed or that they're right when it's the conspiracy theorists that just really pisses me off. And a lot of, unfortunately, you know, both of my brothers have bought into their rhetoric, and you know, it just it frustrates me because I see right through the bullshit, and, you know, I call it out when I see it. And I'm not saying that people are wrong. I'm not saying that anybody is wrong here or they're not entitled to their opinion or their thoughts. You're entitled to that. But when people start, you know, telling me what to think and what to believe, that's where I draw the line, because I'm entitled to my own thoughts and what I believe in as well. We're all entitled to the same thing. So that's just my thought, and it's just, it's sad the way the world is now. It's just really sad. I'm really frustrated with the world. But I digress. K-A-E-P-L.
Yeah, well, I thought during Vietnam the country was polarized. This is 10 times worse. My youngest son said to me, what president has done something for you and the country? And I thought about it. And I told him, Roosevelt and Truman. When Roosevelt was in office, I was 1 year old. I think he's on his second term. He told America, we're not going to go to war for a number of years. Don't worry about it. He told industry, you better get your act together. This is what I read. He told industry, it's going to hit the fan, boys and girls. Get your act together, which they did. And Truman said, go ahead and drop the 2 bombs. Why does that affect me? Because my dad was in the Philippines waiting to be part of the invasion of Japan. Oh, and Roosevelt brought in Social Security, which big business said it's communism. Anyway, that's my thought on presidents, by the way. Don?
Yeah, my comment on presidents, I don't even like talking about it, but I'll comment. I don't know how many I've seen. I think my first president I remember is Jimmy Carter. And I don't know, and honestly, I guess all I can really say is usually every president, the inflation goes up, and you're spending more money, not making enough. The only time in my life I feel like that didn't happen as bad was when Trump was in office. It seemed like the economy was better to me personally. I don't know what the rest of the world was seeing, but for me it was. And, yeah, other than that, as far as these people that believe things that you might not believe, Eric, that you know aren't true, I know, I feel you there. The way I've been handling it is, okay, we'll see if that happens. All right, I heard you. We'll see if that happens. It's probably not going to happen, we know that, but, you know, it doesn't do any good to argue with them. It doesn't do any good to try to change their mind. They just got to see it for themselves. That they're wrong in the end. Or right, if it happens to be that way. But anyway, back to you, Eric.
Well, gentlemen, I hate to be a killjoy, but I'm at my next stop. I'll chat with you guys later. K-A-E-P-L.
Okay, Eric, catch you later. Yeah, Don, I get a kick out of people who say how bad they have it in one breath, and the next breath tell you about their new diet to lose weight. Mint on.
Oh, yeah. I could go on and on about that kind of stuff. But, anyway, yeah, I don't know. I haven't had nothing. I'm trying to think if there's anything new. The Northern Lights were pretty cool last night. It was hard to see them with your naked eyes until, I think it was about the 10:30, 11 p.m. time. I was out at my house up there in Columbus, and, man, I could see oranges, I could see reds, I could see greens. It was just phenomenal, and, started taking pictures with my camera on night vision, because that sees more than the naked eye. And I literally pointed my camera south at the moon, and there were Northern Lights all around the moon to the south. I mean, it was just a heck of a solar storm last night. And the radios, HF, were pretty dead, too, because of it. I did chase some POTA when it first started, and I made a couple contacts. But, I mean, it kind of gave you an idea of what it's like in the dip of the solar cycle last night. go ahead, Walt.
The only time I really seen that oh God, people are racing up and down Van Dyke, was many decades ago, we were night fishing for walleye, you know, wire lining, deep trolling, whatever you want to call it, past the Blue Water Bridge in Lake Huron. And every time it blinked, this is no lie, no lie, every time it blinked, we'd have a fish on. My buddy and neighbor, KTOU, who's a silent key for years, it was amazing, amazing. And Jim spent 11 years in the Navy, and he was a North Atlantic one duty tour, and he said, you just seen him all the time up there. But yeah, that was really amazing. Of course, being born on a reservation, I didn't have to worry about limits. Back to you, Don.
Yep, yep, and I honestly can say the only other time I've seen Northern Lights besides this year, because I did see them in May too, was probably about November 10th. Geez, I don't even know for sure what year it was. I'm going to guess it was around 2002. I was out in the St. Clair River, just upstream of the Blue Water Bridge, and we were anchored and we were whipping for walleye. And the wind picked up, started coming from downstream, upstream. And you know how the river gets when there's a strong upstream wind. And I was in a little 16-foot, half-V, half-flat-bottom boat. And, man, I caught a lot of fish in that boat, too. If that boat could talk. But, yeah, we decided, you know, we had close to our limit. Probably, well, we probably had way over our limit, I'm not going to lie. And, yeah, so I go to pull the anchor, and I look upstream, and the lights are just dancing in the sky, and I'm like, holy crap, look at that, to my buddy, and it was just crazy. I had never seen them before, and even last night, I want to say, what I seen back then was dancing in the sky in different colors, greens and reds and pinks, and I didn't see as much dancing of it last night, so I think it was a better sight back there, back then on the river.
Yeah, Port Huron doesn't have that many lights, truthfully, you know, going towards the mouth of Lake Huron. And Sarnia with Petrolia, and that's not that many lights. But the Northern Lights and rainbows. I love rainbows also.
Roger that, yeah. Yeah, actually my best rainbow incident was up in UP. I think it was the first time since a kid that I was driving to Pictured Rocks, Chapel Rock. So we're going down that long road that gets there, and this storm was moving in. And I didn't realize how open it was and how high up you were once you actually got to the parking lot. So, like, it was such a bad storm that got in the truck and went halfway back down the road and let the storm blow over and then went back to the parking lot and was standing out there looking over the Castle Rock, and there was a double rainbow over the Pictured Rocks, and I took a couple of pictures of it. That was pretty cool. Go ahead. Wow.
Yeah, hey Don, where is Columbus located at, and how far away from, well, Sterling Heights, wherever, I think you stay at your parents' house down here.
Oh, it takes me about 40 minutes, I think, to get to my house from here. So it's a little north of Richmond, if you know where Richmond is. And then if you happen to know where Memphis is, I'm literally probably 10 minutes east of Memphis.
Okay, somehow I thought it was, you know, really far. Yeah, I take ration. What happened years ago when I signed up for the VA benefits, which I don't get anything because I was in peacetime. I'm not knocking it, and take Gratiot all the way to Yale. The reason is when I signed up for that to get my hearing aids and blood pressure checked and blood checked, the downtown was 10 deep with people. General Motors cut the lifetime health benefits for the office workers who were retired. People forget that. Then General Motors, I don't know if they went bankrupt at the same time or what. Anyway, they said the gal working at the Mount Clemens office, retired Army, really a nice gal. Long story short, her commanding officer lives where I was stationed in the Navy, but another story, and went out to Yale. So you go through all these small towns. Of course, once I found out about Yale Bologna, I was in heaven. Back to you.
Okay, yeah, I'm, Yale's a little bit to the east, or west of me, and just on the other side of 69. So I'm, I'm right in that area. If you ever fished out of St. Clair, Michigan, yeah, right in St. Clair where the Voyager restaurant is and all that, if you headed west from there, crossed Gratiot and then went like another 5 miles, that's where I'm at.
Oh, okay. Many, many years ago, I fished at the head of Stag Island. They got a wall there, we'll call it, underwater, and for wire line, and I could never get the hang of it. My buddy Jim had it down pat. He was a coxswain in the Navy, and had one tour in Vietnam, wanted to re-up again. He wanted to make it a career. And prior to Vietnam, you'd go back to San Diego, you'd re-up, and they reassign you. Well, they told him he'd stay in Vietnam and re-up, and he said, to hell with it, after 11 years. He said, I'd rather be alive in the unemployment line than dead in Vietnam. Anyway, he had a compass built in his head. We were in a heavy fog off the Dodge Estate, fishing the Delphine Channel one fall, and two of my friends' co-workers actually came out, and they said they've had it, they're going to go in. And Jim looked at me, he said, look at your watch, in about 20 minutes, you're going to be right back here. I swear to God, gone. About 20 minutes later, here comes Cliff and Jim, up to 60 foot aluminum boat. They made a giant circle. And KTLU had all the coordinates in his head, took out his compass, he said, I'm going to take you right to the wall before we hit Fox Creek from the Yacht Club, right to where both sides meet in the fog, and he did it, buddy. He didn't need it. It was before GPSs. That is a real, real seaman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, them foggy nights, mostly nights. You mentioned that Stag Island. So the friend of mine, well, ex-friend, I should say, that taught me how to whip for walleye, he was a big wire liner, and that was his spot, man. I never would pull wire, and he would be the one doing it, and I'd just watch him. Like, if we weren't getting him whipping, he's like, all right, let's go clean house, and he'd go right up there to that Stag Island spot and just freaking one after another. It was crazy. But, yeah, I still remember anchored up near Marysville, and fog rolls in, and I pretty much didn't move until the fog rolled out when it was really thick. Before GPS's. I mean, if I did, I kind of knew where I was at, and I knew to stay close to shore, and I knew where all the docks and stuff were, but it still wasn't that safe. But man, there's nothing like sitting there anchored out of the shipping channel, and you just have them foghorns blowing, and you know they're like literally, what, 500 yards or so from you, and can't see them. It's just crazy.
Yeah, we are really fortunate. We have great deer hunting. We have great river and lake fishing. And we're not talking about driving to the other side of the state. Some people, you know, different states, your big thing is bass fishing because they don't have any that much edible fish like we do here, perch and walleye. WACPT, WP80.
Oh, I hear you. We got probably, I think this is one of the best baits for fishing year-round, I guess, because our ice fishing is pretty phenomenal, too. I don't know, Alaska and some of those other states out west that I've never been to, they might be closed, but yeah, we got the hunting, we got the fishing, we got just about any outdoor thing that you'd want to do right close by. That's just awesome. Probably why I never left. Go ahead, Will.
Oh, yeah, I'm referring we don't have to drive 12 hours, you know, and hope we get them. Well, I got to make a pit stop, buddy, and I'll clear the repeater in case somebody else wants to use it, and we'll catch up with you. Chuck said there might be another couple of larks in the park before the weather closes in on us. 7-3 till then, WB80.
All right, well, great talking to you. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a few more larks. It's not going to be that bad of weather for a couple more weeks here, so I'm definitely going to try to make them. Hopefully there's one this weekend, because I'll definitely be able to make that. Yep, all right. Great talking to you, Walt. I will catch you again on down the line, and take care. WEPG, clear.
KACAKJ.
Okay, anybody around to test VMR again? KACAKJ. KEATFM. I did.
KB0DCO, monitoring.